so much for joining us. And like I said before the camera started rolling, for being willing to dialogue across the aisle about this important subject. So first, I'm just going to open it up to you. If you could just briefly kind of summarize why you consider yourself pro-choice, why you believe that abortion should be a legal option for women.
Yeah, I think abortion is a morally complex issue. And one thing that I always have said about abortion is that I don't know any progressive person that wants to see abortion increased. We all want to see it decreased. I think the question is about how we do that. And so I believe that there are many instances in which women should have the right to access abortion care. There are many instances, both from a faith perspective historically and from modern scientific perspective, when about why women should have access to abortions. And so I think overturning Roe v. Wade is an attempt to completely ban abortion in many states across this country. And that's a net negative. That results in, we know statistically, women doing harm to themselves because they can't access healthy abortions. You can't ban legal abortion, or you can't ban abortion, you can only ban legal abortions. And so my whole point is I want to see abortions made available. And then through comprehensive sex education, through contraception, through other means, we can work on reducing abortions together. But I think overturning Roe v. Wade and banning abortion altogether is just not an effective way to deal with this issue.
Okay, so there's a lot in there that I want to address. First, I do think that it is incorrect to say that there is no one on the progressive side that believes that abortion is good. There was an article, a kind of infamous article, at least from my perspective, in New York Magazine, which is a very mainstream outlet, in 2019, titled "Abortion is a Moral Good." I've testified before Congress, and I heard the women next to me who consider themselves reproductive justice advocates who talk about not just that abortion is a necessary evil, but that it is actually good for society. It is good for women, especially economically. There's an organization called Shout Your Abortion, which has been touted by people like Oprah, that is trying to destigmatize abortion. So yes, there are many people on the progressive side that are not actually interested in reducing abortion. This whole trope of safe, legal, and rare, it might have been something that was popular in the Democratic Party 10, 15 years ago, even by the current president of the United States. That is not the current mission or the platform or the idea that is predominantly perpetuated on the left side. It is that abortion should be accessible without apology for any reason through 9 months and subsidized by the taxpayer. So let's start there. That is the current position of the Democratic Party, that abortion is not evil, that it doesn't necessarily need to be reduced, but that it just needs to be accessed and even free.
So I disagree. I think there are definitely extremes on both sides. I think there are extreme pro-life and pro-choice people that I, as a Christian minister, would disagree with. However, I do think the vast majority of Americans, the 70% that support the right to access abortion, want to see abortions decreased through these other means that I've named and that Democrats and progressives have been naming for many years. And I do think, yeah, you're right. Sure, there are people on the extremes who want to just say abortions for everyone up to 9 months. I think that is a minority position, and I don't think you could find in the Democratic platform where that would be explicitly endorsed by any mainstream Democratic Party platform.
I actually think it would be very different, or it'd be very difficult to find a mainstream Democrat who today would say, here's what I believe should be the limit on abortion. Really, what you hear is that, well, it should just be a choice. I mean, this is the legislation that we're seeing in California, that we're seeing in New Jersey, that we're seeing in Maryland. We are actually seeing the decriminalization of fatal negligence of babies even after they're born and if they survive an abortion. I mean, you saw the Born Alive Survivors Act that Republicans in the Senate tried to pass a couple years ago, and no Democrats voted yes on it. This was simply saying that doctors should be required to provide life-saving care to babies who survived an abortion, okay? So that's not even limiting an abortion. No Democrat voted yes on that. So it is a mainstream extremist position on the left. I'm not saying you represent it, but it is a mainstream position on the left that there should be absolutely no limits to abortion. So I just think that you're wrong, that no progressives think that there should be, you know, no limits to abortion. That is the mainstream position today.
Progressives, and of course, I'm not saying they're progressives. I say by and large, most progressives that I know of would say that about 20 weeks is the general limit on when we would talk about when an abortion can take place. And that's based on viability. That's based on what we know scientifically, viability of the fetus to be able to actually grow into a full-born baby. So
okay, well, let's wait. I want to hear more about that, because 24 weeks is viability. Babies as young as 21 weeks have survived outside the womb. 24 weeks is actually viability, where they have more than a 50% chance to survive outside the womb. So let's hear a little bit more about your reasoning. Why should abortion be allowed before 20 weeks but not after?
Well, simply because of viability. Simply because
they're not viable at 20 weeks.
No, exactly. So the moral question here for me as a pastor is, when does life begin? And this is the question that Christians and people of all faith have been debating for thousands of years. In different traditions, there are different answers to this question. I think scientifically, we can say today up to 24 weeks is when a fetus becomes viable. So I think that time frame between 20 to 24 weeks is the time that we then can start talking about restrictions on abortion. I do think there are instances when the mother's life is at risk that we have to talk more broadly about this. This is where it gets morally complex. But I think abortion, like so many moral issues, we want to make this just black and white. It either is completely legal for everyone or it's completely banned for everyone. And I think these are highly individualized situations, and it doesn't do good for our polarization. It doesn't do good for the health of anyone in our country when we simply make this black and white, in or out, good or bad, because it's not that simple.
So human beings, we become human beings, technically, scientifically, at the moment of conception. That's when we have our unique DNA. Now listen, what you are arguing is, and a lot of people have argued it, you're right, different traditions say different things. The argument is not whether a person is a human at conception. We have everything that we need and just need time in order to develop into a baby that is able to survive outside the womb. We are all human beings at conception. The question is, that you are bringing up, is when does a human being become a person? When does a human being get rights? That is really the debate that you are raising. There is no question in embryology or biology when a human being is a human being. I mean, if you have ever seen a baby in a first trimester sonogram, that's a baby. That is a baby. That's not just a blob. That is a baby with not just a heart and a brain and ribs and lungs and fingers and toes moving and kicking and teeth that you can see and lungs that are developing. I mean, you see a fully formed human being at just 10 weeks gestation inside the womb. And so why do you say that clearly human being that we can see, why is that not a human? Who decided that? Why all of a sudden at 20 weeks gestation does that person become a human? Like, when did that happen? And why do you have the authority to say that they're not a human before that?
I've never claimed to have any authority on this issue. I'm speaking from
apparently my perspective. You do, because you believe that people should be able to kill that human being before that. So why?
Because it's not a human being. I don't think modern science would say that just when a baby is conceived, that is now a human being. That is a potential life. I will give you that.
It's alive. If it's not alive, then the woman isn't pregnant. Then the woman has what happens in a miscarriage if that human being is not alive in the womb?
Viability is the standard by which we know a fetus can become a fully alive human being.
They are fully alive. I know that you've never been pregnant. I know that the left is confused about whether men or women can actually carry a child. But that human being is alive. You can feel that baby kicking at 16 weeks. You can see the baby in the sonogram moving and kicking around. They can recognize their mother's voice before the time you say that they are an actual human being. Science does tell us they're a human being. You are saying that some human beings don't have rights. That is what modern science says. Yours is a superstitious, philosophical position, not a scientific one.
Well, I am primarily a pastor and theologian, so yes, I'm going to talk from a theological and philosophical perspective, primarily.
Okay, give me the theological support for a baby all of a sudden becoming a human at 20 weeks.
The earliest Jewish tradition in the Hebrew Bible says that a person doesn't become a person until first breath. Now, I reject that, but here's the thing. There is ancient tradition, there is ancient religious tradition, we would even say there's ancient Judeo-Christian tradition that has disagreed about when exactly life begins, and that is the complex moral question. So I think it's important to go with what the science actually says. I've never read any scientific report in all my studies of abortion over the past 8 to 10 years that I've been talking about this topic that says when a baby is conceived that is a human being. I don't think any
it is. What else is it? Okay, here. What else is it? If it's not a human being, is it a summer squash? Is it a Tervis tumbler? But that doesn't actually exist. We're not potential. Yes. We're not potential. That doesn't even make sense. Okay, tell me then what happens in a miscarriage?
That's a potential human life that was ended. That's a horrible...
A potential human life that was ended. Do you not hear that that doesn't make any sense? A potential human life can't exist because potential means it doesn't exist yet. Potential, by definition, means that it does not exist yet. So a potential something cannot end. It has to exist for it to end. It has to live for it to die.
That's a completely illogical argument.
All right, second sponsor, you know them, you love them. It is Good Ranchers. You know what you need this summer. Exist ceases to exist.
I didn't say it doesn't exist. I said it has the potential to exist, and you can stop the potential of that life from becoming real.
But it does exist, or else it can't die.
The potential ends. The potential for that fetus to become a fully...
So when a woman is pregnant, she's not actually pregnant with anything. When she sees in the ultrasound at 8 weeks, that beating heart, that's a potential? Potential what? A potential what?
Life. Potential human life.
Then what is it at the time? You can't... If you see something, if something tangibly exists, this is not a potential. This is not a potential microphone. This is an actual microphone.
When you put a seed in the ground, is it a tree or is it a potential tree? It is a potential tree.
It's not just a seed. It's not just a seed that we're talking about. We are talking about all of the cells, cells that are necessary to grow into a fully formed baby. But it is a human being at conception. You simply believe that it is okay to kill certain human beings because they're not big enough yet. That is the debate. There's no scientific debate about whether or not a human is a human at conception. The whole debate is whether or not that human being has rights. And you believe that human beings don't have rights. That's what you believe.
But as a Christian, I think that what you're doing is unethical by jumping the gun and taking words that I'm not saying and making them words that sound good to your audience. A potential human life is a potential human life. I think scientifically, I stand with the majority of the science today. I'm very confident in that. And again, my primary objective is to simply say we want to see abortions reduced. And the way we're going to do that is not by banning abortions. We can get into the technical conversation, but it's a complex moral conversation that's been going on in our country for a very long time, and there are not clear answers. I want to talk about what is the best way to ensure that women stay healthy, to ensure that our country continues to move forward in a way that protects everyone, including the least vulnerable. And I don't think that is through banning and criminalizing abortion, which is what a number of these Republican states want to do if Roe v. Wade is overturned. And that will, we know statistically that will cause great harm to women, and that will cause great harm to many people across our country, disproportionately affecting communities of color and communities that are already disadvantaged in our society.
Well, unfortunately, people of color are already disproportionately affected by abortion. In New York City, several years in a row, more Black babies were aborted than born. A highly disproportionate number of Black babies are aborted every year. And of course, that goes back to the history and the origins of Planned Parenthood, which was started by a white supremacist eugenicist. It's carrying on that legacy today by disproportionately killing unborn children. And so if you want to talk about harm from our perspective, if you want to talk about harm, if you want to talk about danger, like, we can talk about poisoning and dismembering and purposely stopping the heartbeat of living human beings while they are in the womb. And if you just want to focus on post-viability abortions, unfortunately, that happens at least 10,000 times a year. These are brutal procedures. Really, from conception onward, abortion is a brutal, violent procedure of human beings that are made in the image of God. So if you want to talk about danger, if you want to talk about violence, if you want to talk about things that are harming, like, let's talk about the abortion procedure, which is killing people, which I just can't find in all of my study of scripture, that the God who made us in our mother's womb fearfully and wonderfully and purposely with specificity, that the Jesus who invited the children to come to him, that the God who says in Jeremiah 1 that before he formed us in our womb, that he knew us. I cannot find anywhere in Leviticus when God calls for the death penalty of the Israelites who were sacrificing their children to Molech. I cannot find anywhere in scripture that God who purposely creates us, who made us all in his image, who hates the shedding of innocent blood, I cannot find anywhere in scripture that there would be any justification for killing, for example, a 19 and a half week baby, but not a 20 week baby. That's arbitrary. And it has been that arbitrary assignment of personhood and rights has been the logical justification for every single dehumanization and genocide throughout history. There is nowhere in scripture that would do anything but condemn it.
You're simply incorrect. Scientifically, we know up to the moment of viability, that thing that you're calling a baby is not yet a baby. I fundamentally disagree.
It is a baby.
It is a baby.
You have never, maybe one day when there is a scientific development where you can carry a child and you look at the sonogram and you see that child inside of you, there's no difference. There's no difference between a 19 and a half week baby and a 20 week baby. That is a human being that has been kicking the walls of your uterus for several weeks at that point. They don't suddenly become a baby. That is a superstitious, unscientific view that is not backed by embryology or any biological knowledge of fetal development at all. You have given in to a dogmatic, superstitious view of human life. It is arbitrary. Your view is arbitrary.
The leading organizations in our country, like the
CDC, cite it for me.
And with us, I can cite things for you. We have, let me pull up to 23 weeks. The CDC says that is when the moment of viability is.
Viability, yes. Viability is not the same thing as humanity. And you just said that you are for abortion only until 20 weeks. 20 weeks isn't viability. So why?
Because up to that point, it is just a potential human life.
Why?
Why
20 weeks? 20 weeks is not viability. So why? The CDC says 23 weeks.
Biologically, that's when it becomes fully able to live outside.
Not 20 weeks. Babies at 20 weeks cannot live outside the womb. So why are you saying that? Why are you saying?
3 weeks. I just quoted 23 weeks from the CDC.
Earlier you said 20. So now we're getting a little bit more radical. Okay. So now 23 weeks, only when a baby can survive outside the womb. And so people who, for example, outside of the womb, who are entirely dependent on a machine to live, who are not able to survive without the help of other people, are those people, should we be able to legally murder them too? I'm just trying to figure out your definition or your standard of what humanity is, because you haven't been able to cite the science on it.
I have, actually. You're bringing in external arguments to emotionalize this, which is the problem with this entire debate.
No, it's called logic, and you haven't been able to support it. The CDC says that viability starts at 23 weeks, not humanity. Tell me, cite the scientific literature that says humanity starts at 23 weeks.
Both extremes want to make this a hyper-emotional argument. I'm not willing to do that. I believe this is a complex moral issue. I'm going to continue to stand with the millions of people, the majority of people in our country, who believe that abortion should be able to be accessed in order to protect both the health of the mother, and a lot of these, a lot of abortions are taking place, their general health practices. This is to be for the well-being of the mother, for people. The point is, I think the emotionalization of this argument is not helping us in this country move forward in any way. I think if we overturn Roe versus Wade, I think we are going to see drastically negative consequences. We're going to see not abortion end, we're going to see legal abortion end, and that's going to result in people doing things that are going to harm themselves and be very unhealthy for them, because they're going to find alternative means to get access to abortion. The way we decrease abortion is through increased sexual education, increased contraceptives, increased women's health. That is what we need to do. We've seen that over the past decade, we've seen abortions decrease under such policies. If we overturn Roe versus Wade, we can only expect that abortion numbers are actually going to increase, just not in the legal ways, and it's going to put undue burden on women. This is not the best for our country. This is not the direction we should be heading, and that's why I'm opposing this action, this potential draft opinion by Justice Alito.
Okay, let me pause for a second, because they're telling me two things. That one, your phone is shaking, or you might have like your hands on your table, so it might be shaking. Two, Skype, because it does this, it is blocking. Like, I can't hear you if you're interjecting in what I'm saying. It's blocking it. Oh. So do you have headphones, just so it doesn't seem like we're trying to silence you?
It's okay. Yep. Give me 10 seconds.
That's fine.
Pulling in the old-fashioned iPhone headphones. Let's see.
Those are the best ones, so that's totally fine.
Gotcha.
According to the Guttmacher Institute, which you probably know is a pro-choice, pro-abortion research institute, they actually say that they cannot find a causal relationship between some of the progressive policies that you're talking about and a reduction in abortion. Now, to be fair, they also say that they can't find a causal relationship between restrictions on abortion and reducing abortion. However, a lot of the time, the argument is made that, okay, when Democrats are president, then you see abortion rates lower, so that must mean that Democratic policies are reducing abortions. For example, when Barack Obama was president, the abortion rate was lower than, I believe, when George W. Bush was president. However, yeah. If you look a little bit more closely at that, presidents are not the ones that are making abortion policy. The state legislatures are making abortion policy. And when Barack Obama was president, Republicans dominated state legislatures and passed more anti-abortion bills than they had in all of history. And so, like, if you want to surmise that maybe there's a causal relationship between one thing and the abortion rate, you would have to look at the fact that the actual people who are making abortion policy, which is not the president, which is typically not the federal government, they're state governments, they were passing anti-abortion, pro-life legislation while Barack Obama was president. So I just find this idea that, oh, we need all these progressive policies and then we'll reduce abortion. I understand the assumption that that would be the case, but I don't think there's very much research that is supporting that. In addition, even if we did have discussions about, okay, what policies can we put in place that will help women, that will help children, that will kind of take away the felt need of abortion, I still don't think that is a justification for taking away the rights of preborn children simply because they're defenseless, simply because they're not politically useful, simply because they're young or small or exist inside the womb. That's not a legal justification for killing anyone, including babies inside the womb.
But you know that's a straw man. Nobody is saying that people don't support abortion because we don't think these potential lives are politically useful. My question for you is, do you support Roe v. Wade completely being overturned and abortion being banned, made illegal across the country in any form?
Oh, so you don't, okay. So that is not what happens when Roe v. Wade is overturned. So
no, but it is what's happening in a lot of these states that have trigger laws.
You just asked if Roe v. Wade is overturned and abortion is banned across the board, but that's not going to happen. That's not what overturning Roe v. Wade
does. I'm asking you what you believe.
Yes, I definitely want to see Roe v. Wade overturned. 100%
want
to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
Do you want to see abortion banned across the country? Yes or no?
Yes, I believe that we should be able to legally recognize the rights of unborn children because they're people just like anyone else.
You're not answering the question. Should abortion be illegal across the country under all circumstances?
Yeah, abortion should be illegal because these are human beings. They're human beings.
I think that's an insane policy. I think it's out of sync with almost all Christian theology.
I think it's insane to kill children simply because you have decided that at 1 week in gestation, completely arbitrarily, that they all of a sudden become human beings and all of a sudden become people with rights just because we say so. Yes, absolutely. All right, got to tell you guys about Annie's Kit Clubs. If you are looking for a way, I understand a baby has to be removed. That is different than purposely stopping the heartbeat of and poisoning a child. I do understand that there are some complex questions and some hard decisions that have to be made if the physical life of a woman is truly at risk with the continuation of their pregnancy. Now, any time after viability, as we've already talked about, is 23 weeks, that baby has to be removed anyway, so that baby should be delivered, not purposely killed. The baby's coming out anyway. Now, before that, I do believe everything should be done to try to protect the life of both the mother and the child. If the baby sadly, tragically has to be removed, that's what has to happen. But we're talking about the intentional killing of a child. And I always think that that is wrong. I always think that that should be illegal. Yes, I've said it that many times, so I'm certainly not afraid to say that.
And our fundamental disagreement with my side of the aisle on this argument is that potential life is not life. And I think you're going to keep pushing back on that. And I think we fundamentally disagree. And I think we stand on the side of the science. And that's where this disagreement comes down to.
I really want you to cite the science that says a human is not a human until 20 weeks. The science that says
viability is the science.
Viability is not humanity. Viability is not the same thing as... No, it's not. No, it is not, because then, again, you could apply that outside of the womb. Viability means that they can survive without the help of the mother. outside of the womb. There are plenty of people who cannot survive without the help of, for example, a machine. And so your standard is arbitrary. Your standard is arbitrary.
Those are two very different things.
Tell me how.
People that need to survive with a machine is very different than an infant. We know the skin of a fetus before viability can barely survive being touched outside of the womb.
Okay.
It takes the chances of that potential life becoming an actual life are almost none. We know that to be true.
Therefore, alive in the womb. What does it mean when they are breathing?
What is life? What does alive mean?
They're alive from the point of conception because, again, otherwise a miscarriage or an abortion wouldn't do anything. No, you cannot logically explain how a potential thing. No, you can't. You haven't been able to do it. How something that potentially exists can then stop existing. If it potentially exists,
then it
can't cease to exist.
Growing.
So a miscarriage and abortion
is
nothing.
This is how biology works.
No,
I'm sorry that you're denying biology. Yes, when anything grows biologically, it is a potential until it becomes the full thing. We can use an argument that, as we did earlier, that is not quite as charged. Take any biological plant that is growing. As it's growing, it is not the full thing. A tree is not a tree until it's fully grown into a tree. It is a potential
for that. There's a seed. There's a sapling. There are different stages of being a tree. It's never less of a tree. There are different stages of human life. There are different stages of an organism's development. In the same way that an infant is not an adult, it's still a human being. But we call an infant a child in the same way that we call a fetus a baby. It's just a different stage of human development.
So the ambiguity that's being highlighted.
Just because a person is less developed does not mean that they are not as much of a human as someone who is more developed. That's basically your argument. And again,
my argument is that it's not a human at all.
There's no science backing that. I'm telling you, dude.
There is no science backing your perspective either.
This is
no, there isn't.
Okay, cite it. Cite it, man.
Cite your science, man.
Cite it because every piece of embryology.
No,
the question is not
whether you can't just say every piece of embryology. You don't have any science to back your perspective.
The question is not when human life begins. That is
yes,
not an argument.
Is. That the is
debate
the precise
is
question.
Over personhood.
For pastors,
the debate,
for theologians, it is about when life begins.
No,
that is the question I'm interested in.
You're avoiding that because you want to be pro-choice, because you want to be pro-abortion.
I don't want to be pro-choice. I didn't start off saying I want to be pro-choice. I started off studying my tradition, studying scripture, talking to women in my congregation, and I arrived at this conclusion because of the science, because of my own philosophical reasoning and theological reasoning. This is what I believe is the right thing for our country. This is what I believe based on all the evidence I've seen and read. This is the perspective I believe most helps the most people in our country, that protects the rights of women. And that's where I'm going to stand.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to change your position. I still think that your position is extremely arbitrary, especially I believe that it's conception, but of course there are people who believe, okay, well, it's when the heart beats and that's about 18 days after conception. There are some people believe that it's when there's brain waves, which is about 6 weeks and 2 days after conception. There's independent
all
movement,
arbitrary,
eight
right?
to 10. Yes, exactly. Oh, you make such a good point. It is all completely arbitrary unless you start when life actually
with viability.
Begins. No, unless
with
you
viability.
Start at conception, but not all babies are viable at 24 weeks. See, so it's arbitrary unless you start when life actually begins, which is conception. That's when we have separate DNA, distinct DNA. That is when, by the way, gender is decided. XX or XY at the moment
that's
of conception.
That's sex, not gender, but we can have another conversation about
yes,
that.
Yes, we can.
can I just say one thing before this comes to an end? I think the one thing that I am most passionate about as a follower of Jesus Christ is that we need to be able to have the ability to have these conversations without demonizing the other side. And since posting my TikTok video on your feed asking for interviews yesterday, the vitriol from your side, and I acknowledge there's vitriol on my side, has been nonstop. This is not the way we're going to move forward on this conversation. Demonizing each other is not the way we're going to move forward on this conversation. People on my side aren't supporting and being pro-choice because we hate babies and that's demonizing. That's untrue. And we need to be able to have reasonable, rational conversations, not emotional conversations about this. And then perhaps we can change each other's hearts and minds. Then perhaps we can actually make progress in this country. And I think the demonization that takes place, again, on both sides is completely unhelpful and is preventing our nation from leaning in to the best values that we have and to actually making progress in whatever direction on these policies.
No, I would agree with you there. And I do, and I just want to tell anyone who's listening to this, watching this, I'm looking at you, YouTube commenters, because YouTube is a totally different field. It seems like that there should absolutely be no hate. There can be power.